There was once a wagon train during the pioneer days that was lost and low on food. They hadn't seen a soul for days. Then the pioneers saw an old Jewish man sitting beneath a tree. The leader rushed to the man and said, "Is there some place ahead where we can get food?" "Well," the old man said, "I would definitely not go up that hill and down the other side. Someone told me you'd run into a big bacon tree." "A bacon tree?" asked the wagon train leader. "Jan, a bacon tree. Would I lie? Trust me, I wouldn't go there." The leader went back and told his people what the Jewish man said. A young man asked, "Why did he say not to go there?" Another pioneer said, "Oh, you know Jewish people, they don't eat bacon." They decided not to listen to the Jewish man's advice, and so the wagon train went up the hill and down the other side. Indians surrounded them and took everyone captive except the leader, who managed to escape and get back to the old Jewish man. The leader shouted, "You fool! We followed your route. There was no bacon tree. Just hundreds of Indians who took everyone captive except me." The old Jewish man held up his hands and said, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute." He quickly picked up an English-Yiddish dictionary and began thumbing through it. "Oh, mein Gott, I just made such a big mistake. It wasn't a bacon tree. It was a ham bush." Ham bush, ambush. I get it. Okay. This morning, I would like to talk with you about pointing the way. Pointing the way. And I have 2 points. First, the Lord always leads us in straight paths. And second, we should imitate our guide on high. Let's begin with 1. The Lord always leads us in straight paths. We are approaching the season of Passover when we remember our Exodus from Egypt. And one of the central themes of the Passover story is that the Lord was and is our guide, with a capital G. There was no human strategist or committee that sat down and planned our rescue from Egypt. According to the Torah, the only strategy employed by Moses and Aaron was to encourage the people to follow Hashem, their God and their guide. This simple strategy is summed up in the words of Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, which says, "By day, Adonai went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their journey." Let's all say that last part together, to guide them on their way. Passover is all about remembering that the Lord is our guide and that he always guides us in straight paths. He guided us out of Egypt, he guided us through the Red Sea, and he guided us through the barren wilderness for 40 years, a land of drought and darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives, until we reached the promised land. How has the Lord guided you in your life? How did he lead you to Tikvat Israel? I want to remind us all this morning that the Lord is our guide. He is your guide, and he is my guide. No matter what wilderness experience you are going through today, if you follow Hashem as your guide, as your guide. He will lead you to the promised land that he has prepared for you. And by the way, I'm speaking to the children here as well. Whatever you're going through, young people, at school or at home, wherever, the Lord is your guide, and he has a promised land waiting for you. And the goal is to follow him and find it. Adonai is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here are some wonderful short prayers from the Psalms that we can pray when we feel somewhat disoriented in life, when we need the Lord to point the way. I encourage you to write down these short prayers and keep them in your wallet or purse. David prays in Psalm 5, verse 8. He says, "Make straight your way before me. Hoshar lifanai darkecha." Let's all say that together in English. Make straight your way before me. Now let's make it a prayer to the Lord as we say it. Make straight your way before me. One more time, let's make it a prayer. Make straight your way before me. And let's try it in Hebrew. Hoshar lifanai darkecha. David also prays in Psalm 27, verse 11. He says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Horeini Adonai darkecha. Lead me in a straight path." Let's all say this one together as a prayer. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path. One more time. Let's close our eyes. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path. One more time. Eyes open. To the Lord. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path. The psalmist also cries out in Psalm 43, verse 3, where he says, "Send forth your light and your truth. Shalach orecha v'amidcha. Let them guide me." Shall we say it together? Yeah, why not? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. This prayer reminds me of an experience that I had the year before Harumi and I were married, more than 25 years ago. At that time, Harumi was a student at the University of North Carolina in Asheville. And I drove up to visit her, and then we drove back together to Maryland so she could spend some time with my family. As we were driving back in the evening and making our way around the mountain bends, a heavy fog descended, and suddenly there was no visibility. By the way, we can turn off the projection. On one side of the road was the mountain, and on the other side was a cliff. It was a very dangerous situation, and all I could do when the fog descended was to pray to the Lord, "Oh God, guide me through this." Suddenly, there appeared in front of us a light in the distance. It was the back of a truck that was also making its way around the mountain. Why it suddenly appeared, I don't know. But I followed that light, and it led us around the mountain bends, out of the thick fog, and into a place of safety. All I could do was praise God for sending us light. As the psalmist said, "Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me." David prays in Psalm 143, verse 8. He says, "Show me the way I should go. Hodieni derech zu elech." Let's all say this together as a prayer. Show me the way I should go. Young people, let's just have the young people this time say it. Nice and loud. Show me the way I should go. I couldn't hear you. All right, one more time, louder. One more time, nice and loud. Amen. You know, the Lord is going to answer that prayer. That's right. All of these prayers reflect the heart of King David and the psalmist, because some psalms are not written by King David, that the Lord was his guide who always pointed him in the right direction. The psalmist proclaims in Psalm 48, verse 14, and let's all say this together, nice and loud, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end." One more time. "This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end." Do you know that the promises of God are in the scriptures, waiting there for us to read? Here is a promise that I learned as a child. It is one that I have returned to again and again, and I commend this to all of you who are young people today. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 states, and let's all say this together with all of our hearts, "Trust in Adonai with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." One more time, with all of our hearts, "Trust in Adonai with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Now, just the children, really loud, show us how loud you can be. Good, very good. Similarly, Yeshua said in John 14, verse 6, he said, "I am the way, Anochi Haderech. I am the way." If we follow our guide, the Mashiach, if we cling to him with devakut and don't let go, if we hold on to him for life, not just this week, if we hold on to him for life, not just this month, if we hold on to him for life, not just this year, he will always make our path straight. He will point us in the right direction through the leading of his Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Spirit. And this brings us to my second point. We should imitate our guide on high. The other day, Harumi asked me to go to the Asian grocery store to buy some Korean hot pepper powder so she could make kimchi. When I arrived at the store, I had no idea where to begin looking for the powder, so I did as I usually do. I asked someone who worked there if they could point the way. I said to the first person that I saw there, who worked there, "Excuse me, but could you help me?" But instead of the man helping me, he turned around and quickly began walking down the aisle in the other direction. Again, I said, "Excuse me," as he was walking away, but he was pretty far down the aisle, and I kind of got the message he didn't want to help me, or his English may not have been so good, and he was embarrassed to try. So I decided to walk down the aisles to see if I could find another person who worked there. I saw a lady organizing the shelves, so I went up to her and said, "Excuse me, I'm trying to find the Korean hot pepper powder to make kimchi." She said, "Ah, go to aisle one, and on the left side, you will see it." So I went to aisle one, looked on my left, and there I saw kimchi, but not the Korean hot pepper powder for making it. Another fail. Fortunately, I was right next to the butcher section. So I asked the butcher, "Excuse me, could you tell me where I could find some Korean hot pepper powder for making kimchi?" He said, "Come with me, I'll show you where it is." So I followed him to the front of aisle five, and he showed me several bags of hot pepper powder. But I've watched Harumi make kimchi before, and this didn't look like the kind of pepper that she uses. So I said, "Are you sure this is for making kimchi?" "Yes," he said confidently, and then he left. But my gut was telling me that this was not Korean hot pepper powder for making kimchi. I noticed another lady who worked at the store, so I called her over, pointed to the powder, and said, "Is this for making kimchi?" "No," she said. "If you want Korean hot pepper powder for making kimchi, follow me." So she took me down another aisle, pulling out a bag of powder from the shelf, and said, "This is Korean hot pepper powder used for making kimchi." As soon as I saw it, I knew that this was the genuine article. This is what Harumi uses to make kimchi. Thank you," I said. Now, given how long it took me to find this buried treasure, I decided to take two bags of the powder with me. Then I went to the cashier to pay for it. The cashier said with a smile, "Are you sure you want two bags? I think your wife only wants one." But I knew how long it took me to find it, so I said, "Thank you, but I want two bags." When I arrived home, I went into the kitchen, and feeling like I had just come back from a hunting trip and bagged a deer, I handed Harumi the hot pepper powder and said, "It was difficult to find, but I got the Korean hot pepper powder for making kimchi just for you." Harumi looked at it, picked up the bags of powder, and said, "Thank you, my darling, for going to all that trouble to find it. But why did you get two bags? I only needed one. One bag is enough to last for the whole year." This is a story about how, in a matter of 15 minutes, I encountered one helpful guide whom I didn't listen to, one helpful guide I did listen to, one guide who ignored me, and two guides who led me astray. Every day we encounter people who can lead us in right directions or wrong directions. And it is up to us to have the sechel, the common sense, rooted in the scriptures, and the guidance from the Ruach HaKodesh, not to follow people who point us in the wrong directions. For example, if you surf Hebrew Roots blog sites directed at Gentile believers, you will find all kinds of mishigas written by self-proclaimed experts who offer some valuable insights, but who also frequently lead people away from balanced biblical teaching on issues related to the Torah, Israel, and the church. These Hebrew Roots quote-unquote experts are not unlike the self-proclaimed experts that Paul refers to in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where he says, "They want to be teachers of the Torah, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm." After many years of meeting people who have been sidetracked by these Hebrew Roots experts and the sites that they've created, and led many people in a one-law direction, I felt the Lord wanted me to do something about it, to point people in the direction of well-grounded teachings. So, about a year ago, I purchased the domain for messianicgentiles.com. Then, about a month ago, in my spare time, which is between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m., I designed and built a website entitled messianicgentiles.com, which is now live, and I encourage you to take a look at it. The purpose of this website is to provide non-Jews drawn to Messianic Judaism with a resource center that is accessible online and supported by solid scholarship and balanced teaching. My point in sharing this is that by building this site, I was able to point the way, to point people in the direction of recommended good books, articles, and blogs that can guide them on their journey in straight paths. We all have a responsibility to point people in the right direction. And we are responsible before the Lord if we point people in the wrong direction. If we want the Lord to be our guide on high and to always guide us in straight paths, then kol vachomer, how much more should we always guide those around us in straight paths? In the Torah, there is a commandment that directly addresses this issue. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 14, we are told, "Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am Adonai." Our rabbis refer to this mitzvah as the Lifnei Iver command. Lifnei Iver means in Hebrew, in front of the blind. Notably, in the first century, the Lifnei Iver command was interpreted metaphorically. We know this because Josephus, the Dead Sea Scrolls, Yeshua, and the Apostle Paul all apply the command in a way that refers to misleading the ignorant. The early rabbis continued this tradition of understanding the mitzvah metaphorically. In his article, Placing a Stumbling Block Before the Blind, an In-Depth Analysis, Dr. Hershey Friedman writes that in rabbinic literature, the term blind is interpreted metaphorically to represent any person or group that is unaware, unsuspecting, ignorant, or morally blind, and individuals are prohibited from taking advantage of them or tempting them to do wrong. It is also a call to action, demanding that society and people do everything possible to help the weak, unquote. My point in sharing with you about the Lifnei Iver command is that it is a mitzvah to point people in the right direction. If someone we know is ignorant about something or someone, we must not take advantage of their ignorance by pointing them in the wrong direction through misinformation, gossip, mischaracterization, warning them about a bacon tree, or anything of the like. To do so is to put a stumbling block before the blind. As the Lord always guides us in straight paths, so too, let us always guide those around us in straight paths. When we do this, we are imitating our guide on high, and he will all the more shower down his light and his truth on us. This morning we have talked about pointing the way, and I had 2 points. First, the Lord always leads us in straight paths. And let us pray every day that he would continue to lead us in straight paths. And 2, we should imitate our guide on high. Let's pray.